May it please the court, Robert Borquez, registration number 19577, appearing on behalf of the defendant appellant, Karen Daniel. She's listed as Karen Daniel Knoll, but I can represent that she goes by Karen Daniel, so I'll refer to her as Ms. Daniel. Your Honors, Ms. Daniel appeals from the Teller District Court's order denying her motion to dismiss that was made in May of 2009 based upon the unreasonable delay in the sentencing in her cases out of Teller County. And there's basically, as is outlined in our opening brief, two bases for our argument. First, there was a violation of Rule 32B, Colorado Rules of Criminal Procedure, in that there was unnecessary delay in her sentencing. The second basis we have is the constitutional argument that there's a violation of the defendant's Sixth Amendment right to a speedy sentencing. I'll very briefly go over some of the procedural highlights of this case, because I know that both parties have included in our briefs the chronology of events. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but just a couple of highlights here. The case started back in 2006, and there were actually three Teller County cases that resulted in a plea disposition between Ms. Daniel and the district attorney's office in August of 2007. And the plea disposition called for my client to plead guilty to one count of theft, a class 4 felony, and one count of fraud by check, a class 2 misdemeanor. And sentencing was to be open in the Teller case, but the sentence that was imposed in the Teller County cases was going to be concurrent with a case she had pending in the Jefferson District Court. She also had a case in Douglas County, and she had a case in Montana, which is what leads to some of the problems we've got here. But basically, the Teller case was going to follow the Jeffco case. And her plea was entered the end of August of 2007. Originally, she was supposed to be sentenced in Jeffco. I believe it was in November. So the Teller County Court set the case for sentencing the end of November, the middle or end of November. Well, the Jefferson County case didn't go to sentencing. It got bumped over till December. The Teller case got bumped over till December. The Jeffco case got bumped over once more, and I think she was finally sentenced. It was January 7th of 2008. And that's not real clear in my opening brief. But in preparing for today's argument, I went through the record. And in the record, I think it's page 75 and page 78, there are minute orders that indicate that there were these continuances of the sentencing because the Jeffco case hadn't been concluded yet. At any rate, between January and March, at some point, my client is shipped up to Montana, apparently. And there's a number more continuances in the sentencing because, quite frankly, for a period of time, neither the people nor defense counsel could locate her. What we do know is that at all times, my client was either in the custody of the local sheriff's departments here in Colorado, or the Montana Department of Corrections, or the Colorado Department of Corrections, but at no point in time was she out on bond. And that becomes significant because I think one of the arguments the people make in this case is that my client was responsible for the delay in her sentencing. And we dispute that. We concede that she was responsible for at most 5 months of the delay. And it was a 21-month delay between August 2007 and May of 2009. We concede that until January 2008, she was probably responsible for that because she asked that her sentencing in Teller be basically trailing her sentencing in Jeffco. So, but, you know, we dispute that she was responsible for the entire delay in the sentencing.
Isn't it correct that all the subsequent delays involved hearings at which her counsel was present and the underlying circumstances were discussed?
Her counsel was present, Your Honor. That's
okay.
Correct.
Why isn't that period of delay waived because counsel made no objection?
Well, for one thing, Your Honor, at one point in time, counsel represented to the court, and if I could look at my notes, counsel represented to the court that counsel was having trouble communicating with the defendant up while she was up in Montana.
I respect that, but I guess that doesn't really answer my question. At any of those proceedings, counsel could have asserted either the rule argument or the constitutional argument. He didn't until the second, or she didn't until the second last hearing. Why isn't failure to advise the trial court of one or both of those arguments a waiver of the period of time until the argument is raised?
I think that's a good point, Your Honor, but I think this is one of those rights that I don't think counsel can waive. I think that the right has to be waived by the defendant herself, and she wasn't present, and there were communications problems with her attorney, between her and her attorney, while she was out of state. But it's our position that in order for there to be a waiver, she would have had to have effected the waiver. And I would analogize, Your Honor, to a waiver of speedy trial. Generally, a lawyer getting up and saying my client waived speedy trial at the pretrial stage is not considered, you know, a valid waiver. Or every time I've been in front of a judge and a defendant is going to waive speedy trial, the defendant is generally asked to sign a written waiver. In other words, it's not just counsel's representation alone that carries the day. So I don't know if that answers your question, but and the point is well taken that her attorney did not assert the issue until May 4th of 2009. I think that's clear in the record, but the only thing I could say is that I think that the defendant would have to be making some kind of, would have to do something to waive the issue.
Counsel, oh, go ahead, please.
It appears that after the sentencing in Jeffco, that the vast majority of the time, your client was incarcerated in Montana.
I believe that's correct, Your Honor.
All right. How are the people in any way at fault for the fact that, one, she's incarcerated in Montana and they don't know where she is when her own counsel doesn't know where she is?
Your Honor, I think that the people have greater resources as far as finding her than the deputy public defender down in Teller County. That's only part of my answer. The other part is, And it might not have been cost effective, but theoretically, the people could have gotten her back here from Montana.
What is in the record that shows what the people did or didn't do in that time period to locate her? And what specifically should they have done that they didn't do that's in the record?
There were some efforts made by the people. I think that's reflected in the record in that some phone calls were made. I think that's indicated in there. I think everybody knew that she was up in Montana, but nobody knew how to reach her or where exactly she was up there and how to get her back here.
I think there's one point in the record at one of the hearings where both counsels say they don't know where she is.
I think that's correct too. But at some point in time, they did learn she was up there,
right?
Because the public defender representing her was trying to reach her. And apparently the sheriff who was holding her up in Montana wouldn't allow communication until she had a local lawyer up there appointed for her. So yes, exactly where she was not clearly known. No, they did have an idea where she was and that she was in custody in Montana. I don't know if that clarifies it at all.
Once they found out where she was, that she was in Montana, they did try to arrange a sentencing by telephone. I mean, the people did try to do that. It just didn't work out. Through apparently no fault of the people.
That's correct, Your Honor. I think we can attribute the fault to the folks up in Montana, the people who are holding her up there. It was not the people's fault, but there was some effort made. Judge Rothenberg.
Well, they've alleged, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they say that they issued 10 writs?
I'm not sure of the exact number, but that's very possible. And I know that there were 11 continuances at least. I think there are transcripts reflecting 11 different court appearances by counsel. So we concede that the people did make some effort. Whether that was sufficient or not is another story. I know it would be an extreme measure, but I think that basically the government had the power to have her extradited back here.
Another argument is that there's no prejudice because the judge in this case gave her concurrent time to the time she already had plus credit for all time served.
The judge did give her credit for time served. I think it was 887 days or something in that neighborhood. But I think, if I recall correctly, the deputy public defender did identify two avenues of relief that were foreclosed to her.
Were they?
One was that she was scheduled to go before a parole board, and she couldn't because she hadn't been sentenced yet, and the other was her eligibility for community placement. So I think those were noted. I don't know if there are any other questions. If not, if I can reserve my 4 minutes and 30 seconds to respond and rebuttal. Thank you.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, William Kozlowski, registration number 37824 on behalf of the people. I just want to clarify one factual thing in the record. I don't believe that she was sentenced in her Jeffco case until at least after February 25th, 2007, and that's at page 81 in the record. They scheduled a sentencing hearing for February 25th, and the minute order states that she's still being held in Jefferson County for sentencing there. And I also want to stress that under the terms of the plea agreement in this case, she could not be sentenced until she was sentenced in Jefferson County, because she was to receive the exact same sentence in this case as she did in that case. It wasn't just that it was to run concurrently, she was to receive the exact same sentence.
Give us those dates again. When was she sentenced in Jeffco? February 25th?
Sometime between February 25th and March 17th.
Of what year?
Of 2008.
And when was she sentenced in this case?
She was sentenced in May of 2009.
So there was a year delay?
Yes.
Okay. And what about those, did you say you had 10 attempts to try to get her?
I believe it was here? 10, yes. And as the court's touched on, basically, after starting in March of 2008, she was sort of lost for a while. The record's unclear what happened to her. Presumably, her counsel said she was in DOC. The first indication that she went up to Montana is a minute order on June 24th, 2008. It says, tell her sheriff says defendant cannot be picked up because Montana has a detainer hold on her and is taking her back to Montana. So that's the first indication of that. The second thing I'd like to stress is that it's not our contention that she is responsible for the delay. It's that it can be attributed to her. Once the delay happened, she, as Judge Webb touched on, she did not object at any point. To the contrary, November 17th, 2008 hearing, she sent a letter to her attorney which said, she would prefer not to be transported to Teller County for sentencing. She would be more than happy to appear by telephone. And that's, I'd also like to take issue with something that defense counsel put in the reply brief, that her request not to be returned to Colorado was contingent upon her sentencing by telephone. I don't think that's the case. I think reading that, it's that her preference was not to be returned to Colorado, and sentencing by telephone was something she was willing to do because of that. And finally, I'd just like to stress that the defendant simply can show no prejudice in this case. She received pre-sentence confinement credit for the time served in Montana. Secondly, she, in opposed to all the cases cited in the brief, she actually knew the sentence she was going to receive in this case, because she had already been sentenced in Jeffco, so she knew that that would be the exact same sentence. And it's people's position that her claims of prejudice are entirely speculative. We don't know if she had a parole hearing, if she would have had one, when it would have been. If it was after she was transported to Montana, then she obviously would have been in Montana. She couldn't have had a parole hearing. And if the court has no other questions, I'd ask that you affirm the convictions below. Thank you.
Just very briefly, Your Honors, the situation with when she was sentenced in Jeffco is very unclear, to put it mildly. I would just invite the court to take a look at the minute orders, because they indicate something happened, and I think counsel did point out that it was sometime between, the people take the position, it was between February 25th and March 17th. I would just ask the court to take a look at the minute orders in that time frame to see what they say. But it's really unclear when the Jeffco sentencing occurred. We concede that her sentencing in Teller was contingent on what happened in Jeffco. I think that's pretty clear under the plea agreement. The only thing that I would point out, Your Honors, is that even assuming that she was sentenced March of 2008, the next event is on June 24th, 08, when the sheriff in Teller County notes that Montana has a hold on her. That indicates that she may still have been in Colorado for a period of time following her sentencing in Jeffco, and there may have been an opportunity to get her down to Teller County to be sentenced before she was shipped to Montana. The other thing is, I think the court can look at the record as to what it was her counsel represented, her position was regarding not wanting to be brought back to Colorado for sentencing and wanting to be sentenced by phone if that could be done. The way I read it, that was in the conjunctive, that she was willing to waive coming back here if she could be sentenced by phone. I appreciate the people's position. They read that differently, but I guess it's going to be up to how you three read it. At any rate, unless there are any questions, I'd rest on our briefs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the arguments of both counsel. The case stands submitted. We will issue a written opinion in due course.